12, verses 37 through 50. John chapter 12, 37 through 50. And it reads as follows. Everybody's there? Everybody has it? All right, here we go. John chapter 12, verse 37. It said that when Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. It says in verse 37, though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, for again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn. And I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The words that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. The very words of God. Father, bless us. Open our eyes and our hearts to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 37, such a tragic verse. Tragic and powerful. That even though Jesus had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe. Jesus had turned water into wine. He had made food multiply, fed over 5,000 men. Not including women and children. He had opened the eyes of a blind man, gave him sight. He had healed a man at the Pool of Bethesda who had been paralyzed for 38 years. And then he did a miracle when he raised Lazarus from the dead, who had been dead for 4 days. And Jesus came on the scene and resurrected his life. Did all those signs, all those miracles, all those wonders, and still when the day come, they still say many did not believe in him. Even though they would say, we see Lazarus standing right here before us, they still did not believe in Jesus. Now, I said before and I say again that when we say believe, in our Western culture, we have a different view of what the Bible says about believe. Most people will say, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he was born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, and that he died on the cross. You say, well, man, that's great. That's saving faith. Not necessarily. That can be, I believe in the facts about Jesus, but I don't really believe in Jesus as my Savior, and I haven't surrendered my life to him. What Jesus was asking them to do, not just to believe in the miracles, he was asking them to believe in what the miracles pointed to. That the miracles pointed that he was not just a miracle worker, that he was just not a prophet, that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. And by believing in him, you may have life in his name. Matter of fact, the whole Gospel of John is written dealing with points of signs talking about Jesus. We say that the theme of the Gospel of John is John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, when the Apostle John says, Jesus did a whole bunch of signs, but I wrote these ones so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you may have life in his name. that you are to put your faith in Jesus who was able to heal a dead man. To put your faith in Jesus who's able to give sight to a blind man. To put your faith in Jesus who's able to turn water into wine. To put your faith in Jesus because he is the one who is the Messiah who came to rescue you from your sin. The song says, ransom from heaven. To believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And this group of people would not do that. They still would not believe that he was the Messiah. And you must ask yourself, what more could Jesus have done? What more could Jesus have done to convince them? Nothing. Now I'm pretty sure, because you would say, hey, listen, if I saw Jesus heal a blind man, I would believe that. If I saw Jesus raise somebody from the dead, of course I'd put my faith in him. Would you? Would you really do that? Put your faith in Jesus Christ and surrender to him. Because I submit to you now, Jesus is still doing miracles and people still don't believe. I'm telling you right now, people still don't believe. I got people, I can tell you right now, people who would tell you that knew me and say, yeah, I knew him when he was a scoundrel, when he wasn't a Christian, and when he wasn't about nothing, and now I see him up there preaching about Jesus. I know Jesus did it, but yet I still don't believe in Jesus. But I know how he was before he became a Christian. And yet he still don't believe. See, my life and your life should be a miracle that reflects Jesus. See, my life should point people to Jesus. They should see you when you are born again and say, man, there's something different about you. You're not the same. I mean, now you look the same, but you're not the same. You don't think the same. You don't go the same way. You don't do the same thing. Something is happening in your life, and all you can say is Jesus. He did it. These people refuse to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And he had did so many signs before them. They still did not believe in him. They did not believe in him as their rescue, their Messiah. So my first point is this. The tragedy of unbelief. The tragedy of unbelief. What's so tragic about unbelief? Look what it says in verse 38. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, for again he said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. See, that's a tragedy to unbelief. And this is, and here's what it is. Jesus said in verse 36, I am the light of the world. Believe in the light that you may come become sons of the light. He's talking about light. No, that speaks of truth. When you reject the light, it becomes darker. A refusal to receive the light leads to more darkness. When you refuse to receive Jesus, it gets darker. See, it just, now, you don't stay neutral. See, you don't stay neutral. When you hear the gospel and it's preached to you, you don't stay where you are. You have to make a decision. And so when you receive the light, and that's letter A up there, when you receive the light, it gets darker. It gets darker. And what that means is this. You begin to say, you know what? I won't believe. See, it says that not, first of all, they wouldn't believe. Now they can't believe. See, there come a time in God's economy that his grace will not always strive for man, with mankind. There's a time when your time will be up on this earth. And if you keep hearing the gospel over and over and over again, you say, well, maybe next Sunday. Maybe next week I will give my life to Jesus. Tomorrow isn't promised to you. I was driving here today. Saw a major wreck on my way here from San Diego. Carried a guy on the stretcher. Where was he on his way to? You don't know. Now he's on his way to the hospital. Because you don't know when your time is up. See, that's why it says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And many people do. They hear the gospel over and over again. They come to church. They hear. That's all they do, hear. There's never a response. But I want you to know, you never stay the same when you hear the truth. You either come more into the light or it gets darker. If you receive the light, God gives you more light. You reject the light, it gets darker. It gets darker. And that's why we start seeing things in our society, people doing all kinds of stuff. Read Romans chapter 1. And God will tell you why. It tells you why people are doing all kinds of stuff. It says that when you reject the light of creation, it says that God speaks from creation. It says there's a God. When you say, there's no God, there's evolution, you've already went into the darkness. Now you keep going. It says now you reject your conscience. Your conscience telling you, you know, there's something in me saying there's something out there that's greater than me. No, it's okay. It's darker. So now you rejected the light of creation, light of your conscience. Then you hear about Jesus. He's a fairy tale. Now you rejected Christ. So that you reject creation, your conscience, you reject Christ, then God says he turns you over to a debased mind. And he gives you what you want. You crave things, okay, I'll let you have at it. And you start doing all kinds of stuff. And we see it in our community, in our society. Things that God says is evil, we start saying it's good. When God says marriage between a man and a woman, we start saying, no, it's not. It's your thing. Do what you want to. That's darkness. And we see it in our society all over. So are you walking in the light or are you stumbling in the darkness? Now, that's a tragedy of unbelief. The second thing, letter A, is this. To continue in rejection leads to a callous heart. To continue in rejection leads to a callous heart, a hard heart. Stiff neck. Won't turn. Your heart gets harder and harder where the word of God can't penetrate anymore. You know, someone can hear the gospel so much and it doesn't faze them anymore. See, my danger as a pastor, as a preacher, is the fact that I can tell you who Jesus is and you can know who he is and you can understand it, you can quote it back, but yet you can quote it back, but it doesn't faze you. That you can come to church and say, yeah, I know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God, the Messiah. And walk out of here and leave just like you came. So you think. You never leave here how you came. You either getting better, either you walking in the light, or you walking in the dark. But you're never the same. Whenever you hear the word, you are never the same. But we think we are, but we're not. Have a callous heart. Hard-headed. Can't nothing get through. Just can't get through. And that's what happened with the Jews here. They did not want to receive Jesus. Now, why didn't they want to receive Jesus? Why they kept rejecting him? Because he didn't come the way they expected. He wasn't the Messiah that they wanted. He wasn't what they were looking for. Be careful about that. See, God's blessing will always come in the package you think it should. See, he came from Bethlehem, lived in Nazareth. And what did Nathaniel say? Can anything good come out of where? Nazareth. They felt that way about Jesus. He's from Nazareth? That's the Jewish ghetto. The Messiah cannot come from the hood. There's just no way. He had to come from Temecula. He can't come from Lake Elsinore. There's no way. He has to be from Temecula. Okay. Think about those things. How is your heart toward the word? Is it soft to the word or is it just hard-hearted? Nothing get in. Now, I want you to know, you can be in church and still have a hard heart. You really can. I've seen it. I've seen folks sit right here as I'm preaching, and I can look at them and say, they ain't hearing not a word I'm saying. They're saying to me, preacher, hurry up and sit down. Now, It's on your face. You're not saying it to me out loud, but I look at your face. You say, sit down and be quiet. I'm ready to eat some snacks. Because I've already rejected what you're saying. I'm not even receiving it. I want you to hurry up. Just hard heart. Don't want to hear it. Why? Because we're saying we don't want Jesus to rule over us. I don't need no king. I got my own self-determination. I know what's right and what's wrong. I don't need Jesus. And preacher, I don't need you to tell me what to do. Like the little video, little boy, I'm grown. With a pamper on. Tell me, he grown. Anyway, let me stop. Okay. But the tragedy of unbelief is this. Not only it leads to more darkness in a callous heart, the penalty is eternal death and judgment. It's a penalty of unbelief. When you reject Jesus, as we shall see, you're rejecting God. And you're calling God a liar. And you're calling God's word a liar. And you're going to die an eternal death, and you're going to be judged. And the penalty is going to be hell. For the wages of sin is death. God will give you your paycheck. If you reject Jesus, when you go up to heaven, he's going to say, here's your check. You earned it. He said, what is that? Hell. I mean, the wages of sin is death. And God will pay you. He owes no man. God owes no man nothing. He would give you your paycheck if you want it. I earned this money. I want it. Okay, here it is. Straight check to. I don't want that check. I want Jesus' check. His money says freedom and forgiveness. See, God paid a debt he did not owe. And we owe a debt we cannot pay. Jesus rescued us from our sins. I don't want to pay that penalty Jesus did. But if you reject Jesus, you will pay the penalty. And the penalty is eternal separation from God, called eternal death, called judgment for unbelief. Secondly, even though the tragedy of unbelief, the sovereignty of God is at work, even through rejection. Now, the sovereignty of God means this, simply means that God is in control no matter what. That God's will is going to be done, that no mere creature with breath in his lungs is going to be to thwart the plan of God. That God's will be done, with or without you. Jesus Christ will be glorified, with or without you. So look again at Scripture. It says that they would not believe, even though they had seen signs and wonders. But it says that this was to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah had spoken. That God had already knew that when Jesus came, he was going to be rejected. He knew it so well that he prophesied and said, now Jesus is going to come and y'all are going to reject him. But I'm going to give you a chance, even though I know you're going to reject him. God is sovereign. He already knew they were going to reject Jesus. He knew. John talks about this, says that he came to his own, and his own did what? Received him not. But to those who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Not born of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. God is in control, even through rejection. That's why I know the Bible is real. Because we'll do stuff, and the Bible already told you what you're going to do. I've seen people when the Bible, there are people who reject God, and I'm never surprised. I'm never surprised people say, you know what, I've been walking with Jesus, and I don't believe anymore. I don't believe that Bible. I said, well, I do. He said, why? Well, I said, I believe because of you. The Bible said there'd be people like you that would believe for a minute, and you turn around and say, I don't believe anymore. The Bible said that there'd be people that would be like you, that will believe for a minute. They'd be so excited, so emotional. Well, I love Jesus. I love that sermon. Man, is Jesus good? 2 months later, I don't think I believe anymore. I'm leaving the church. Okay. The Bible speaks about that, that people will reject Jesus. And he talks about, here they are seeing Jesus in the flesh, and they reject him. Isaiah prophesied about them. They did not believe. Then it says, they could not believe. See, letter A is God is not surprised when you reject him. And B is this, God is in control, even through your rejection. God is not surprised, and God is in control. He's in control. Now, what do you mean God is in control? That through their rejection, it led to the crucifixion of Jesus. That they would believe in him. God knew it. God prophesied about it. Then they could believe in him. Because if they did, they wouldn't crucify Jesus. So they couldn't believe. They rejected Jesus, and he was crucified. And yet God said, I sent Jesus to die for your sins. He's going to be crucified. He said, wait a minute, it's stacked against me. Yeah, God's in control. So you really think you're in control, and you're really not. God is in control, and his will be done. And that's why I choose to be on God's side, because he's going to have his way. One way or the other. You can bow your knee now, on earth, or you can bow your knee in hell. I choose to bow now. What about you? Have you bowed the knee to Jesus? Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Or what else are you waiting for? You heard the gospel. Someone said, well, I still don't want to believe. I got another question. Just keep asking questions. That's why I stop arguing with people anymore. I don't debate with people anymore about Jesus. You're wasting your time. You really are. How you say, you're wasting your time. Listen, I don't believe in Jesus. What about Martians on Mars? Okay, I'm done. I don't need to talk to you anymore. I don't need to talk. Have you seen one? No, I haven't seen. Why are you worried about the Martians on Mars? Where about your name? Where about you right now? I'm talking to you, not the ET. I'm saying if you would believe in Jesus, you would be saved. Where about you first? We want the Martian later. Where about you right now? Just a smoke screen. Just a smoke screen. Well, I got to keep thinking about. Why you got to keep thinking? For what? You already made your mind up. You got to keep thinking. You already made your mind. I don't believe. Quit asking me. Okay. All right. Done. But you're going to die one day. Then what you going to say? Hold on, God. Give me a little bit more time. When the reaper comes to get you, we'll have an appointment with death. We want to choose Jesus before then. But God is in control. It says, therefore they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, God blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Now, this is a controversial passage. It says, God is at work now in their unbelief. Now, have you read the book of Exodus? And God tells Moses, listen, I want you to go to Pharaoh. And I want you to tell him, let my people go. And then he goes to Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh says, who is this God that I should obey him? I'm not going to obey this God. Moses did some miracles. And Pharaoh says, get out of here. I don't care. Then Moses leaves like, oh, man, I'm defeated. God, what's happening? And God says, Moses, I told you. They're not going to believe. He's not going to let you go until I've broken him completely. Then he would gladly let you go. I'm going to harden his heart so that I will be glorified through his life. And you will know that I am God. See, you can keep rejecting God over and over and over and over again, till eventually God says, enough. You can't see. You can't hear. God blinds your eyes, hardens your heart. That means the verdict has already been stamped. Done. See, don't take Jesus Christ lightly. Don't take God's mercy lightly. Don't take God's word lightly. You better take Jesus seriously. You better take the word seriously. Don't play with that. See, God's not just our little buddy hanging up there on a cloud with a little playing harp. He's God. And he demands our worship. He says, when I speak, you need to obey. And many of us, well, I hear God speaking, but I'm just not going to do it. Okay. God said, I will not be mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Don't take Jesus lightly. There's a tragedy to unbelief. But God is sovereign. He's working even through rejection. He said, well, how do you know that? Look at verse 42. Some rejected, it says in verse 42, nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Some rejected and some believed. We call them CIA Christians. Undercover. Don't nobody know that they're a Christian. And their faith was being tested. But they kept quiet. And some of these who had put their faith in Jesus were of the Pharisees. See, it wasn't cool to believe in Jesus, to be his disciple. It wasn't cool. If you did that, they would kick you out of the synagogue. You'd be mocked, laughed at. Even today, isn't that cool to believe in Jesus? Teenagers, isn't that cool to believe in Jesus? Isn't that cool to take your Bible to church, to school? Isn't that cool to say, you know what, I'm going to remain a virgin because I believe in Jesus. I'm going to wait till I get married. God has a plan for me. Get out of here, you nerd. Isn't that cool to be a Christian in high school? So you want to fit in with the crowd. Want to be liked by the people. Start talking about Jesus, teenagers. Go to church. Start talking about Jesus tomorrow, on Wednesday. See what happens. Let's pray. Let's talk about Jesus before we go to class. Let's have a little prayer time. Tell your friends about Jesus. Hey, come to church with me. We want to talk about Jesus. He's great. Click. You're a nerd. I don't want to talk about Jesus. Point three is this. The testing of our faith reveals a level of our maturity. And it's not just for teenagers. Grown men. These are grown men who won't believe, who won't stand up and say, I believe in Jesus. One of them was by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. He was a Pharisee, a part of the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus came by night. He came to Jesus at night. Did nobody know he was coming to Jesus? Came at night. Joseph was a Pharisee, but said, hey, listen, I believe in Jesus. I know he's a Messiah, but I'm not going to say anything because if I do, they're going to kick me out of the synagogue. I won't have status anymore. What happened to the blind man when he said, hey, Jesus healed me. He's a Messiah. They said, get out of church. Get out of here. It was so fearful that you know it's bad when your mama won't stand up for you. I mean, now daddy might not, but mama's supposed to have your back. Mama ain't said, hey, listen, he's grown. He's on his own. Let him speak for himself. And they kicked him out of church. But Jesus found him. Jesus found him. What about you? Because I want you to know, letter A says, rejection and ridicule is a real possibility for Christians. If you want to follow Jesus, there's a real possibility you will be rejected by your family, your friends, your co-workers. They will reject you. They will call you a Jesus freak, a holier than thou. You don't believe that stuff, do you? Come on. You're smarter than that. That's what they'll say to you. Can you think? Jesus, come on. And unfortunately, many Christians fail in that area. We won't stand up for Jesus. We won't come out. Also, acceptance from your peers rather than praise from God are an unworthy pursuit. Who do you want to please? Jesus or your friends? I want to please Jesus. If you try to please people, you'll always be all over the place. Constantly trying to please them. Constantly trying to please them. Do you want to please Jesus? But it says that they love the glory of what? Man. More than the glory of God. They want to be accepted by people. By their friends. You cool. You hip. Until you start talking about Jesus. Now, we can talk about God all day. But don't you start, whatever you do, do not start talking about Jesus. God is cool. Jesus is crazy. We don't want you to talk about Jesus. When last time you told someone that you know is not a Christian about Jesus? Said that the average Christian goes a whole year and never shares their faith. Never tells not one person about Jesus. That's sad. And the only reason that you and I are here is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus says, go and make disciples. And I'm telling you right now, as a body of Christ as a whole, we're doing a poor job. We're not making disciples. Now we might have some converts, not disciples. Converts is, hey, I come get baptized, but it's between me and Jesus. That's about it. Disciples come out the closet. They start to listen, man, I got saved last week. Man, I love Jesus. You ought to come to church with me. Man, he changed my whole life. You ought to come and learn about Jesus. He's just great. They're not ashamed anymore. I mean, when you're by yourself, you pray over your food, but when your friends come and then you have lunch with them, you say, well, I would pray, but I don't want to think I'm crazy, so I don't even pray when they're here. I just eat. I won't pray with my food, my friends around, because I don't want to think, I'm religious. Okay. So you mean that you love the glory of man more than the glory of God? You care more about what other people think than about what Jesus thinks. Fourthly, we shouldn't take Jesus lightly. When we choose to shrink during our position, we are taking him lightly. But I want to give you something, number four, is why we worship Jesus Christ. Why we shouldn't take Jesus Christ lightly, and why we meaning Christians, why we worship Jesus. Why I say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why I say that I believe in Jesus Christ. Why I say every day he is God, and without him, you're going to die and go to hell. Why would I say that? Because Jesus cried out in verse 44 and said and proclaimed that whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. Letter A is this. Jesus is God's representative to humanity. Jesus is God's representative to humanity. God came down. How did he come down? Came down in Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All that was created through him. And without him, there was nothing made that was made. And it says also in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of only God, full of grace and truth. Jesus stepped out of glory into heaven. I mean, from heaven to earth. Wrapped himself in humanity. Came as a Jew. Born in Bethlehem. Grew up in Nazareth. Died on a cross called Calvary. Buried in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, he was resurrected. Got up with all power in his hands. And said, go and make disciples. He says, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. So you can't believe in God and reject Jesus. To reject Jesus is to reject God. Because God sent his son. And no, there is not. We all serve one God. No, we do not. That is not true. The Muslim God is not the same as my God. Allah does not have a son. Jesus, God the Father has a son named Jesus. We don't have the same God. So if you tell the people, we all serve the same God, you are lying. That is not true. We do not serve the same God. We don't. It comes down to this, who do you say Jesus is? And if he is the Christ, the Son of God, then you must serve him and him only. Quit on the fence. Well, I think we all go to heaven. No, we don't. We don't all go to heaven. No, we don't. That's not what the Bible says. And if you believe that, at least say, well, that's what I believe, but I don't believe the Bible. Jesus says, I am God's representative. If you believe in me, you believe in God. He says, whoever sees me, sees him. Let it be. Jesus is the exact revelation of God to humanity. To look at Jesus is to look at God. To see the face of God. Jesus said, if you want to know what God looks like, if you want to know what God thinks and what God feels, look to me. I am the Word of God. I am God. Because Philip said, Jesus, show us God, and that'll be enough. He said, wait a minute, Philip, I've been with you for 3 years, and you still looking for God? If you look at me, you've seen God. See, we worship Jesus Christ because he is God. I'm not going to back up from that, not going to apologize. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. He is to be worshipped. As God. Because he is a revelation of God to humanity. He tells us how God feels, what God thinks about sinners. He loves us. Thirdly, let us see. Jesus is the Redeemer of humanity. He says, I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Jesus came to rescue us from darkness. And darkness is sin, unrighteousness. Darkness always sings about being in bondage. That's what Jesus says, I am the light. If you are a Christian, you don't walk in darkness. We walk in the light. We walk in the light of Jesus Christ. He came to redeem us from our sinful state. So he's the representative, the revelation, the redeemer. And letter D is this. Jesus is the reason many people will enter heaven or hell. He said, wait a minute now, I got heaven. What about hell? Look at verse 48. Jesus says, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. If you reject Jesus, you're going to be judged. Judged by the word. Jesus says, my words are going to judge you. Because when you reject Jesus, you reject the Bible, you reject the word of God, and what you're going to hear when you stand before Jesus is the word is going to judge you. Because you refuse to believe. See, we get saved because of Jesus. The only reason you're going to heaven is because you received Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand some people do not go to hell because of sin. They don't. And that was the case, we all going. Because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But it says, God made him a ransom for us, and when we receive Jesus Christ, we don't have to go. But if you reject Jesus, you're going because you reject Jesus. People are in hell today because they refuse to believe and receive Jesus Christ. That's the only reason. Because he said, I don't believe in Jesus. I'm a good person. I haven't really hurt no one. I pay my taxes. I take care of my kids. I'm a good person. You're not a good person. You're a sinner in need of a Savior, just like me. There's none good, no, not one. The Bible says there's not no one good, not one. So why are you going to heaven, Jesus? Yes, God. Why are you in hell, Jesus? Because I refuse to believe Jesus. Refuse to receive his plea. John Piper says that the central thing of the gospel and to our Christian faith is this. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you don't have God as your Father. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. What you do with Jesus is the clearest test of what you do with God. What you do with Jesus is the clearest test of what you do with God. If you reject Jesus, you're rejecting God. If you receive Jesus, you receive God. There is no gray area. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It says that Americans say, 80% of us say we believe in God. If you say, how many people believe in Jesus? That number will shrink. There are many people in church, yeah, I believe in God. Do you believe in Jesus? That he's the only way to the Father? Well, I don't know if he's the only way. He's the way for me, but I can't tell the people down the street that's worshiping some other God that they're wrong. But who's right? I'm going to trust the word of God. I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to trust him who died and rose from the dead. No other person claims that. Search history. There's no other person claimed to die for your sins and got up from the dead. No other leader claims that. Jesus does. So my conclusion is this. Believe in Jesus Christ. Go public with your faith and make disciples. Believe in Jesus Christ first. Believe that he is God's son. So as the band is coming, I want you to understand that God loves you. He wants you to receive him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to put your faith in him. Have you done that? If you haven't, you can do it today. You can say, Jesus, I surrender. I trust you. I believe you died for me on the cross and rose again from the dead. I believe that you are the Son of God. We want you to trust Jesus today. You can leave here better than you came. Now, maybe you are a Christian, but you're CIA. You're undercover. Don't tell too many people that you're a Christian. You don't want to make it known. You don't want to get too religious. You keep it to yourself. You say, hey, my religion is private. I don't want to talk about it. The Bible says, how will they hear unless someone tells them? How can we go through life day after day after day and keep that to ourselves? What would you think about a person who found the cure for cancer? And your loved one was suffering with cancer, uncurable. And that person had to cure and kept it to themselves. How would you feel about that person? No, what would you say about that person? That's a nice person. No, you know what you would say? How could you
keep such a beautiful gift that would heal so many people? How could you keep that to yourself? Why would you do such a thing? He would say, well, I was afraid. And many Christians do that. They go to work, go to their homes, go to school, and never say a word about Jesus. Then we come back here, sing a couple songs, go back to our house, and forget it all about Jesus. Then we come back again, do it again, and we wonder why the church has no power. We wonder why Christianity is the least growing religion in America. Because Christians, we have hidden our light upon the bowl, and we have lost our salt, and we have become good for nothing, except to be walked over and trampled underfoot by men. May God have mercy upon us. Because we're not living victoriously. We're not living like we believe in a God who rose from the dead. We're living like cowards. Jesus is King. He loves you. And maybe God's telling you to do something today. And yet you say, I'm just not going to do it. Maybe for you, God's telling you to go public with your faith. For some of you, God's telling you, hey, you know, I know you believe in me, but you haven't made it public. You haven't been baptized. That's the step you need to take. I want you to step out. I want you to get dunked in some water because I want you to make it public. I want you to go public. Maybe God's telling you, I want you to share your faith with your neighbor. I want you to tell your neighbor about Jesus. I want you to tell your coworker about Jesus. I want you to tell them. Teenagers, I want you to be public. I want you to start telling your friends about Jesus and stop just talking about all kinds of stuff. Talk about Jesus a little bit. I want you to do that. Our faith is not a private matter. It's a public matter that needs to be shouted from the rooftops that he lives, that he's alive, and he wants to redeem you and me. Romans 1 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Let us pray. Father, we come before you today, asking God for you to do what only you can do, and just draw men and women, boys and girls to yourself. And Father, I pray that through this message we have seen Jesus clearly and we won't take him lightly. We will trust you. And Father, I pray that if there's someone here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ, that today would be the day of salvation. And with your head bowed and eyes closed, if you don't know Jesus, right where you are, you say, I want to receive Jesus Christ. I want to trust him. Right where you are, with your head bowed and eyes closed, right where you are, raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Say, I want to know Jesus. I don't want to keep playing a game.